following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
I'm here today to preach on godly fathers, which I feel like sometimes in the past, this country has left the generation that accepted God as their leader. Somehow or another, we've forgotten that part of it. Now, I want to go through the process today of giving you the qualities of a Christian. And those qualities were given to us by God in picking the people that he picked to be in the lineage of Jesus. So I want you to follow with me today on that. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 4. So if you want to turn there while I'm speaking, that would help big time so you can get started with me. And we're going to look at verse 25 and 26. Now, I want to preface that by telling you, okay, I know that the lineage of Jesus started with Adam. If you really get right down to it, that's where it started. Adam failed in the concept of being godly because they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Now, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. They had two children, two boys, that the Bible speaks of. I know they had other children besides that. When Cain was sent out into the world, there were other people there, so they had to have had other children. But Cain and Abel were the two that stayed with them in their midst. And Adam taught both of them how to worship. Y'all need to do a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, Abel's sacrifice was the correct sacrifice that God intended for them to do. And Abel was despised by Cain because Cain felt jealous of what Abel had accomplished. And what happened? Cain killed Abel. Now, at this point, one son is dead. The other one, God sends away. So Adam and Eve are without children. Again, in their midst. So what happens? Well, they want another child. So in verse 25, Genesis says, Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this is the first quality of a Christian. A Christian must be devoted to calling the name of the Lord and praying to God. If you don't pray, your life with God is miserable. Because one-on-one communication is what God desires of us. We need to pray. That's the first quality of a good Christian leader. Now, as a father, okay, for me, if my prayer life is lagging, guess what? My family life is lagging also. And the qualities that come out of me are not as godly as they should be. So understand that this first quality says that we need to be in touch with God on a regular basis. Now, from there, the Bible continues, and God chooses individuals, and he gives them the influence of the Holy Spirit as he chooses them. Seth, at this point, for some reason, decided that he needed to come back to God and call on the name of God. Well, if you saw Abel was doing the right thing, Seth did the right thing. Now, did his sons do the right thing? Not necessarily, because it got so evil in the world that God had to send a flood. And the next person we're going to talk about is Noah. Now, pay attention to this. The people that God chose to be in the lineage of Jesus didn't necessarily have all the qualities of Christian, but they had one quality that stood out. And if you notice, Seth's quality was the fact that he called on the name of the Lord. So he prayed to God regularly. Okay. The second quality and the third quality are going to come from Noah. We're going to look at those now. And this is in chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to go all the way through Genesis. So bear with me. Just flip pages, and I'm going to wait on y'all to catch up. And when you get there, if you would, just say amen. Okay, in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Now notice the two qualities that he had. He was righteous. To be seen as righteous in the eyes of God means that you always do the right thing even when no one else is looking. I think Noah had 120 years to do that. And I can tell you, he was on the beaten path of building an ark that God had told him to build. And it took that long to build it. So guess what? He had to be right with God. He had to be righteous, or he would have never taken care of it for 120 years. I pick up a new hobby and I lose interest within a few days. I hate to say it. How about everybody else? I mean, I don't want to step on toes, but I can tell you, I'm sure we could get some more witnesses to that. The problem is, okay, for us to be in the Christian will, we have to be committed daily to being righteous. The third quality means that we have to walk with God. Now, when you walk with God, you're always trying to do His will, not your will. All right, so have you paid attention so far? Seth was a prayer warrior. Noah was righteous in the sight of the people, and he walked with God. All right, let's continue. We're going to take a look at Abram now. Now, before I get into Abram, we're going to go to chapter 12, verse 1. So if you'll locate that while I'm talking, it'll get you ahead a little bit. Abram was in the Ur of the Chaldees. And God spoke to Abram and he said, Abram, if you're willing to leave this land and go to the land that I'll show you, I will make you populated unbelievably and all of them will be a blessing to the world. Well, Abram had to pay attention to God. So first thing I'm going to say is the fact that when Abram looked at God, he knew that God was speaking directly to him. One, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, whoa, now wait a minute. Okay, for me to be able to talk to God, I got to be on a one-on-one relationship with God, talking to him, right? So God's telling me, hey, telling Abram, go forth from your country. That's the first thing he told him. Second thing he says, and from your relatives. Problem is, okay, Abram didn't listen 100% of the time on that one. But anyway, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And then Genesis 12:4 says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, one of the problems that you've got to encounter is the fact that when God's speaking to you, you can't be half-hearted listening. You got to listen because God's instructions are full of details. But sometimes we don't want those little details and we kind of slough that off. So what did Abram do? Well, his father went with him. Lot went with him. Well, they get to the area of Haran and Terah, his dad, dies. But he still got Lot with him. So Abram has to continue forward going with Lot. So Lot will become a problem to Abram in the process of being there with him. If he'd paid attention to God and said, leave your relatives. But he didn't want to do that wholeheartedly. He felt like some of that needed to come with him. And I can understand that. I don't want to leave my daughter or my family or any of us and go somewhere else. But sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zone for us to do that. So for us, that fourth quality is listening to God in his full instruction. Even if it means leaving the familiar behind and starting new. In other words, it is accepting God's call on your life. So the quality here is the fact that you accepted God's call on your life. And sometimes that's hard to do because it means getting out of your comfort zone and doing things that you may not want to do. But Abram did that. So Abram was moved to do what he had to do, and God had promised that he would make for him a nation of nations through a son that he had promised to him and Sarah. Well, Isaac was born. What did God tell him to do with Isaac? When he was a young lad, he told Abram, take him and sacrifice him to the Lord. Wow. Now, at this point, I can tell you, Abram's already had his problems with Lot and everything, and they kind of separated and left kind of different territories. So Abram knew that the instructions of the Lord were in detail. But he also knew the Lord, that if he sacrificed Isaac, God could resurrect him. Because God's promise to him was the fact that he would have nations upon nations coming out of Isaac. So what did Abram do? He went to sacrifice him. Abram, if I take a look at the root words in his name, Ab means tree, Ram means a ram. What did he find to sacrifice? A ram in the thicket or the trees, caught there. So being faithful to God means that you have to listen to God, right? So in listening in full detail, quality that he needed, that he could be in the family tree of the king, which is Christ, through him, his seed. Well, that's what Abraham means. The seed of the king and the family tree of Jesus. Wow. Did you pay attention so far? That's what I've told you at the beginning, that I'm going to go through the family tree of Jesus, and in the process, in Genesis, pick out the qualities of these people that made them look the way that we should look as Christians. So this is the next quality, and we're going to look at chapter 24, verses 2 through 4, and then we'll pick up verse 6. Abraham said to his servant, now Abraham has gotten old, and he said to his servant, of his household who had charge of all that he owned, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. And then in Genesis 24:6 it says, then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Okay, Abraham learned from his first lesson about leaving relatives. God said, do you leave your relatives? Well, he brought Lot, and Lot gave him all kind of difficulty where they had to separate in the grazing lands. He even had to go and get Lot out of trouble because he had been captured by some kings. So all that came on Abraham as a burden. But understand that Abraham knew that in God's instructions that his son should be equally yoked. Now think about what I'm saying. As a Christian, you want your child to marry a Christian. That's equally yoked. So what did Abraham say to his servant? Go to my country and my relatives and choose a wife for my son. Don't let him marry one of these Canaanite women. Why is that important? Because the Canaanites worship idols. And if you bring the idol worship into the family, then you, at that point, mess up the lineage of Jesus, because idol worship goes into the lineage of Jesus. And that can't happen. So what does he do? He says, go and get the wife. But do not bring my son over there, because he's going to want to stay with his relatives. And you can understand that. Relatives he's never met, that he's heard about, but never met, he'd want to go over there and stay with them. So the servant follows the instructions. But notice that quality again. that you desire that your children are equally yoked in marriage, and you help them pursue God-fearing mates in marriage. You know, I can tell you, my parents didn't try to persuade us to who to marry or whatever during the years, and I wish that had been the kind of churchgoers that would have been able to do that, because it would have made something for me to strive for. But that didn't happen. I mean, we were Catholic at the time, and I can understand that the rituals and the religious worship is very different than what the Baptists have as far as their worship. And I can say this, okay? I found a Baptist girl by accident. I'm going to say it like that. But God planned that, I can assure you. And after a few years of marriage, we wanted children, which I didn't want any children. My wife persuaded me to have a child. And I told her, I said, you have one shot to get your daughter. If we don't have a daughter, that's your daughter anyway, is what I told her. So that's kind of where we were as far as that. But when it came time to raise this daughter, where are you going to take her to church? Are you going to go to the Catholic religion or go to the Baptist religion? Well, you can't have a house divided because that doesn't work. I mean, I'd love to say, yeah, you can do that. And some people make that work, but let me tell you, it's got to be extremely hard. So we committed to go to the one religion that allowed me to get married and not have to change her religion to become my religion. And that's how that happened. But you want to know something? God planned that, because that was the plan he had for my life. And I had to pay attention to that call. And that's part of the things that a Christian has to do. And I can tell you, we came, Morgan City First, I don't know how many years ago that was, in 1972, let's see, 74 through 75, I think we came here, because we lived in Morgan City during that time period. And then from there we went to Franklin. So Sylvia, it does go back a long way, girl. Very long way. But anyway, continue with the process of where I'm going with the qualities and everything. We went to First Church in Franklin, and I can tell you, we felt uncomfortable in the church. Not that the church made us feel uncomfortable, but we didn't feel comfortable there. And our neighbor said, little pass, Brother Bobby Hodnett's there. Well, I can tell you, Brother Bobby Hodnett was so down to earth that it didn't matter who you were, he could make you feel welcome. And at that point, we found a home. But you know what? God put me where he wanted me, is the way I got it. And you got to say that God has hand in that, but when you deal with godly qualities, he is going to allow you to go in the path that you need to go. He's going to put you there. All right? But Isaac, okay, got a wife. And in the process of getting a wife from his relatives, you got to realize she's in the area of the Chaldees. Who does she worship? Not necessarily God. Because Abram was pulled out of there so that he could worship the right God. Okay, so now here's Rebecca coming and getting married with Isaac. And they have two children. And it's interesting how the Bible portrays those two children. Esau and Jacob, are they going to fight just like the first two brothers, Cain and Abel? Well, it could have come to that. But God intervened in all that, and he handled it. But understand that Isaac had his two children, and Jacob got the birthright from Esau for a pot of porridge or whatever all the stew that he ate. Now, at this point, Jacob is supposed to be in the lineage of God. But understand, here's Isaac. Let's continue with Isaac 27:2. Isaac said, behold, now I am old. And he's talking to Esau, not Jacob. and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me and prepare a savory dish for me such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat so that my soul may bless you before I die. Every parent's dream is to bless their children before they die. You want to leave an inheritance of some type, no matter how small. That you want to do. But you know what? The best inheritance you can leave for them is leading them to God. That inheritance is what they need. But now notice, okay, Isaac had the quality of wanting to give a blessing to his children before he died. That would bring me to Jacob next. Sad thing is, the Bible doesn't deal with Jacob next. Jacob is the father that's in line after Isaac, the father of Joseph. But the Bible deals with Joseph before it deals with Jacob. Now, don't get me wrong. Jacob wrestled with an angel and all of that, but understand that Jacob was proud of Joseph because he was the son of Rachel, who he loved. He had to work 7 years, have Leah as his wife first off, then work 7 more years for Rachel. And then at the end of the 7 years after that, which would be 21 years that he worked, he finally got away from his father-in-law, Laban. But now, Rachel had a child called Joseph. And Jacob spoiled that child to the point that all the other brothers and sisters were jealous of that child. So what happened? Joseph was sold into slavery by the brothers. Kind of interesting how your first two brothers, jealousy. Second two brothers, jealousy. This is another set of brothers and jealousy. Is there a common denominator there? It's called sin, right? It's in our lives. It's going to be there no matter what. But how do you overcome the sin? You get the qualities of a Christian. And if you can get all of these qualities that I'm speaking of today, you can overcome all of this. All right, let's take a look at Joseph, though. Because Joseph at this point is in Egypt. He's been sold, and he's in prison. And he's going to come out of prison and decipher a dream for the Pharaoh. 7 lean cows, 7 fat cows. Remember the dream? Okay, and he's got to tell him about this. He says, now, once he's told him the answer, he said, then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. So the 7th quality is to have a discerning spirit. Well, how do you have a discerning spirit? A discerning spirit, first off, is the fact of being able to tell right from wrong or when things are going to go bad or when they're going to go good. You have to be able to know those things. How do you do that? You get the information from God. Well, how does God give you that information? You have the Holy Spirit in you that fills you with that information. God speaks to us every day if we just listen to the Holy Spirit. So he gives us that information, and we get spoken to. But at that point, we develop what is called a discerning spirit. And that's the 7th quality that we get. Now, I can tell you that when you hear the number 7, that's heavenly perfection or heavenly completion as far as a number. So if that's the case, then when you get to that point where you have a discerning spirit, then you have mastered 6 other qualities that God wants you to have before you get there. But that's not the most important quality. The 8th quality is the most important quality he wants for us. And that's in chapter 49 of Genesis. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm at the tail end of Genesis, and we're going to look at Jacob now. Now, why did we look at the son before we looked at the father? For us to know God, we have to look at Jesus before we know God the Father. The Bible is important in every little detail, and everything it sets up is not a coincidence, it's not an accident, it's done on purpose. So this is to show us this last quality. And we look at 49 verses 1 and 2. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, "Assemble yourselves that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come." How many of you know the future that you can tell your kids what's going to happen to them in the future? If you're one-on-one with God every single day, you know enough to know what to tell them. But listen to what happens here. "Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father." Now, he gives every single one of his sons a message. And that message is directly from God. So what is the last quality? Where he will prepare his children for a future following God as he did. That is the most important quality that a parent can have in a Christian home. Teaching their children about God and following God. Sadly enough, in this United States, there are so many things that pull children and parents away from each other. I mean, I love sports, and I think sports are a great thing for children. I love arts. I think learning music is wonderful for children. But on the other hand, sometimes the passion and dedication to those things are a lot more important to the parents and the children than it is to God. That passion for God has to be there first. It has to be there first. So let me go through the details of those eight qualities. The first one had to start with the fact that you needed to know that you needed to be able to approach God. And how do you approach God? You call on his name in prayer. That's the first thing. The second thing, I have to ask for forgiveness. And for me to ask for forgiveness, I have to accept Jesus as my Savior so his blood covers my sins and God can see me as righteous. That's my second quality. My third quality, I have to decide that I want to walk with God. In other words, I have to decide in my own life that I want to obey God. The fourth one, I have to listen to God's call for my life. Unfortunately, I'm going to stand here and tell you that I'm probably 25 years late in accepting the call on my life. I really feel like God wanted me to be a preacher, and I didn't hear that call at all until I retired. Kind of weird, but you know what? God has a plan, and his plan came to fruition at the very end of my life, and that's okay. So you listen to the call. Then you have a desire for your children to be equally yoked so they can continue following God. Because anything that will take them away from God, it's not worth it. It's the world, and we should avoid that. And then the sixth one, you want to give a blessing to your children before you die. And if nothing else, the blessing that you can give them is to teach them about God. That is the blessing you should leave with them. The seventh one, you pray that they get a discerning spirit, because if they get a discerning spirit, they've got those first six qualities down where they need them. Because at that point, they're walking with God, they're obeying God, they're listening to God, and they're praying to God. Now, let's talk about the last one. As a father or a parent, our duty is to prepare our children for godly lives. If we don't do that, we've failed miserably. That's what God asked us to do. When you have children, teach them about me. I can go back to Deuteronomy, and he will say, Put these things in your head. Put it on your heart so that they can be there when you need them. And how do you do that? You got to read this book. Went to church at Sycamore Point this morning, and when I got, of course, mother-in-law had to walk up the real tall stairs to be able to get up there and everything, so I held her hand all the way up and everything. One of the people that were in there was with her granddaughter, and her granddaughter was reading a Bible verse to her grandmother. Kind of interesting that the child is reading the Bible to the grandmother, but where did that come from? Because the grandmother reads the Bible to the child. So it was in reverse order today. But isn't that an amazing sight to be able to see that? Now, I can tell you that when you look at God's Word, and I've just gone through the entire book of Genesis with you, and I've shown you that God chose these individuals to be in the lineage of Jesus. And what did he do? He gave them each a quality that we can all admire from that individual. I love the fact that Seth had to call on the name of God, and he taught other people to do it also. I guess he was the first preacher, if you really get right down to it. Kind of interesting, huh, when you think of it that way. But look how many other qualities God showed us today. 8 qualities that put us in tune with him on a daily basis. So what I pray for us today is the fact that even though you don't have children, that the children around you, you mention Jesus to them. Mention Jesus to them. They need to hear about God somehow. If we don't tell them, who will? Now, I can tell you, there's a verse in the Bible that says, well, God can take these rocks and make them speak instead of you speaking if he needs to. But he wants you to do it. So he's asking us to do that.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.